You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Friday Night Joy. I'm your host, Reverend Ray, broadcasting on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I want to talk to you about some things that are going on. I don't really have a title yet. Maybe it comes to me in the midst of the message, amen. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and remind you of His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall. It's Thursday at 12 noon. I look Friday Night Joy. Amen. At 7 p.m., The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray. It's the first and the third Sunday. Amen. At 7 p.m., Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan. It's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. The monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Vina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday, amen, at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain. Amen. It's every third Monday, amen, at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Bottom of One. Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday, amen, at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer, Reverend Gwen Dixon. Amen. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call. The dialing number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. All right, man. So let's go to our prayer. Father God, we come today first just to thank you for another day. Thank you, God, that how you have kept us from hurt, harm, and danger. We give this broadcast to you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would come and have your way. You set the atmosphere. Lord Jesus, you do what is needed, God. You bring us back to repentance. You forgive us of our sins. Lord Jesus, you do those things that are necessary, God, that we will fall at your feet and say, Lord, have mercy on us. We need you today. Come and be a blessing. Lord Jesus, for those that are listening, God, we pray that we will just be a blessing. We do pray this prayer. In Christ Jesus' name, amen, and amen, 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 amen. So, this is what I want to do. I just lost my place for a minute, but I'm going to go back to it. Amen. Let me just do this. Open up a new window. I want to talk about several things that are going on. Not just the virus that's... that has killed well over 100,000 people just in the United States alone. Okay, and of course that number goes up even more so worldwide. Amen. So that's something to talk about. But I also want to deal with what's happening in America, man, and what's happening in America right now. There's a lot of civil unrest because of the death of a gentleman by the name of George Floyd. So there's all kinds of stuff that's going on in the world, and there's all kinds of stuff that's happening here in the U.S. in America. And George Floyd was killed by a police officer that had his knee. The police officer had his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck. And the gentleman died later on and stuff like that. And if you watch the video, it can be, I don't want to say it's traumatizing, but it, for me, it made me break out a tear. I couldn't just watch it and just not have any kind of emotion whatsoever. Amen. And then you got people, and then to add to that, with the virus, the black community is being affected even more so with this virus. It's killing more of black folks than it is any other race. No matter in any city, the rate of us dying is higher, and a lot of it's probably because of pre-existing conditions and different things. So I looked at it like this. I said, you got the coronavirus, the 19 deaths wreaking havoc. And now you got racism that's wreaking havoc as far as a race and everything. And it's like, in every kind of way we are being affected. We are being torn apart and every kind of financially, job-wise, small business, whatever the case might be, we're being affected by this, okay? And so for me, this definitely is a time or a season that we need to be in constant prayer for our country. I'm not only talking about America, so those that are listening overseas, just bear with us, because this country is going through a paradigm shift. It's going through a change, and it's not necessarily a good change, but it can be. You know, it depends on the choices that we make up, and stuff. So it's really good. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk today, I went to the Bible, and I wanted to start off in Exodus, and actually we can do it. Three different chapters, so we're going to skip around a little bit. Amen. But I believe black people, in particular in America, for over 400 years has been in some form of slavery or some form of way of trying to keep us down. And that's a reason that I believe. It's just my opinion that I believe that is so. So what I want to do real quick, I want to start off in Exodus chapter 1. And I want to read you something, okay? All right. This is actually chapter 1. And this is all after all the children of Israel, amen, is in Egypt at this point, amen. And they doing good, you know. And let me start at verse 5. It says, "And all the souls that came out of the lions of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel," the Bible said, "were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them." The Bible said, "And the land was filled with them." And I think this was with all that the black folks have done, coming, being a spot of slavery. We have, and with all the oppression and the depression and the racism and the hanging and the beating financial discord with us, we have managed somehow to continue to survive. In fact, we took things that they didn't want and we made it into something that we can eat, and we multiplied. So that even in the midst of chaos, there is something special about us as a race of people, that we always find a way to survive or persevere or to find out more, or to learn more, or to be taught more or something. In other words, we are a fruitful people. You know, we might not have the money and the power, be in the position of a power, but when it comes to knowledge and when it comes to us, we are fruitful. When it comes to our generation, we are fruitful. And I always say that what would happen if we ever got our head together and became as one? I believe the people of the different races of Caucasians and some of the others would be mighty fearful because we came as one. Amen. But this is what I want to get to. And it says, verse 7 says, "And the children of Israel was fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." And 8 said, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And I think that that could be, in some cases, not all cases, but in a lot of cases, I believe that's a fear factor, because they realize we are already better in a lot of cases in sports, and we're better in a lot of cases. Whatever we do, we exceed in it, in most cases, more so than they do, more so than our counterparts do. So I think there's a fear factor that's involved to think that we're trying to take over the country, and we're not. We consider ourselves to be Americans just as anybody else. But it says, and he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that when there fall out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land, you know. And therefore he did set upon them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, this is what you want to say, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptian made children of Israel to serve rigor. In other words, they worked them even harder. The more, and after it seems like to us, the more that they come afflict us, the more that we come against us, the more we're going to multiply and grow. The more that we can become stronger, the more that we can become more wise to how things work, how money work, and how the system work. The world, the more we listen, the more you can put your knee on our neck, the more that we're going to stand. I believe that there's something special about a black man that born in America. Okay, I'm not speaking about all blacks, and I'm not speaking about the African, but I'm speaking about us that have gone through much, that have seen much, and have seen time after time our brothers and our sisters killed on the streets. And even we did, some of the kids, they're killing ourselves. Black crime is one of the things they like to bring up a lot. And it seems to be that we do be killing each other for some shoes or for a jacket, or because you diss this person or because you diss that person. But I believe that it's part of a curse that is put on us from the beginning of slavery to turn us against each other. But I still believe that if we ever came together and became as one and stuff like that, we can rule the world, man. We can do different things that have never been thought of before and stuff. We can take it to a next level, you know. And we are very giving persons, and we don't mind sharing what we have and stuff. I believe that we will be a blessing upon the nations. I believe that we will be a blessing upon the nation. Amen. And stuff, because we're not one to just go over and do some harm to him for no reason. If you hit us, we will fight back. So there's a lot of riots and stuff that's going on right now, and civil discord and civil disobedience. And I'm not agreeing with any of that. I mean, why burn up your own stores that you shop at and stuff like that? Why tear up your own neighborhood that you go to and stuff? Why do things that's gonna hurt you in the long run and stuff like that? Don't know. We gotta find another way. But I think the people are so frustrated right now that they're speaking against it, that they're fighting, and they're taken to the streets and they're rioting. And I believe also there are probably some people that are in the midst of them that wants to have a peaceful demonstration are there for no good reason, are there to sow discord and make it worse than what it is. And in some cases, they win it and stuff like that. And so the prayer become for us as a race of people, of Americans, is to stay strong. The Bible says again in 12, says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. In other words, the more damage that they did to them, the more they try to do them in, the more they kill them and their children, the more they put work on them, the more they didn't pay them what they was worth and everything, the more they put them in, kept them down in their poorhouse, the more they grew, y'all, the more they multiplied. And I believe that God is elevating us as a race of people not to be like our oppressors, you know, not to be like them, but to be different and to show love and to show kindness, but at the same time, show strength. At the same time, show strength. And the Bible said 13 said, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field, and all their service where they made them serve was in rigor. In other words, with anything they taught the children of Israel about working and working hard, you know, with sweat and everything like that. You know, nothing was, they didn't have a lot of free this and free that. And before you say anything to me about you mentioned thinking about welfare, there are more of my Caucasian brothers and sisters on welfare than there is us as a race of people. There are more murders on white crime than in us there is on black crime. And then it goes into, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, see them upon the stools. If it be a son, then you should kill it. And if it be a daughter, then she should live. Isn't that amazing? They want you to kill the son. And that's what's going on now. Our sons, our fathers, our uncles, our brothers are being killed by the many. Because they are afraid for them to grow up. They're afraid for them to grow up and be the next president of the United States. They're afraid for them to grow up and start companies to begin to fund their communities. They're afraid for them to grow up. But the Bible said the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. Keep in mind that these midwives was not Hebrew. They were not the Israelites. Okay? So there was an Egyptian, but they feared God. They feared God. Well, I don't know whether they're just, I've just said that. But anyway, the fact that they fear God. So there are people out here, my brothers and my sisters, my black race, that might not be the same complexion you are, but got your best interests at heart. That want you to be elevated, that understand the struggle, that understand what you're facing and what you're going through, and they want you to understand that they are with you. There are people out here that's like that. So we have to be careful and mindful on who we curse at or who we talk down to, because not everybody is our enemy. Not everybody is our enemy, okay? Not enemy. And the king of Egypt called them out, did that. And let me see, where am I? And the midwife said to the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and they are delivered as the midwives come into them. In other words, the babies are born as soon as we get there. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. So everything the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for their good. In other words, he increased their thing. And that's what we want to be. We want to be obedient to the things of God. To God begin to increase us no matter what the enemy is doing. Not to go out and strike and not to go out and take control of the world, but to be an example, to be salt, light, and power, to be that kind of person which God has called us to be. Amen. And the Bible says that Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall live. See, right off the bat, he's caught in an attitude that he decided that what he's going to do, okay, if I the midwife didn't do what I asked, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my people to kill every son that's born. Every son that's born. Can you imagine the amount of babies, the young men that were killed? at that time, the same thing is happening. The young men are dying left and right, you know. And if the enemy is not doing it, then the enemy within is doing it. Because that's what the black-on-black crimes are. It's the enemy within that's doing it. And when we, as a group of people, do stuff like that, it's not of God. God desire for us to live and not die. Now, I'm not trying to talk about the separation of races and all that kind of stuff, but I'm talking particularly as a black man in America that have seen so many things. As a black man in America, they have been stopped by the police, you know, with guns drawn, you know, as if I was a criminal getting off from work, y'all. Coming out of the building that I work at, they saw me coming out with a money bag and everything. They knew that I work at, no doubt. And still guns was drawn on me like crazy. From all sides. Blocked in. Can't get out. You know, M16 rifles, pistols pointed at me. And if I moved up left or right, they would have shot me dead. Happened to me more than once. As a black man. So I know what it's like to be a black man in America and to get stopped by the police and realize, hey, look, I'm not did anything wrong. I'm just getting off from work. But to see your whole life flash in front of you like that, I know what it's like. Amen. I want to go ahead and start in Exodus chapter 2. Amen. And I'm going to start at verses 1 because we're going to get to talk about Moses here. It said, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to a wife of a daughter of Levi, and a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Okay? And when she could no longer hide him, remember I told you there had been a death decree to go out to kill all the boys, kill all the men babies. She took him in an ark of bushes, and dabbed it with slam and with pitch. She made a boat for him and put the child therein, and she laid it on the flags by the river bank. Okay? And his sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. And one of the daughters of Pharaoh, I'm going to go ahead because I want to skip through some of it, came and got the baby out and claimed the baby as her own to take care of her and everything. And she ended up using the baby's mother to feed the baby and take care of the babies. And the baby's sister also was part of it. Amen. Amen. I want to move down to, amen. Let's go move down to verse 11. No, let's go back to verse 10. Okay. And verse 9, I'm sorry. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. That was Moses' mother. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that no man was there, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. In other words, Moses saw the reaction and the things that was going on in with his people, and he reacted physically and stuff like that. He reacted physically because he didn't like the idea. He saw his people being beaten and murdered and all this kind of stuff. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strode together. He said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou that fellow? He said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down as well. Amen. He sat down a well. He sat down by the well. It goes on to talk about how Moses got married and everything, and he continued on. Amen. But in chapter 3, it talks about, let's start at verse 3. This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jericho, his father-in-law, and the priests of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the burning bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I would not now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is now burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. So that means to y'all, some of us, God is calling us right now. There's a need to take place. I heard somebody say on social media that there's no leadership among the blacks. There's no Martin Luther King, and there's no Malcolm X, and different people that always stood up. But the thing is, just because you don't see them, don't mean they're not there. They are there, but maybe they haven't been elevated. Maybe their role is smaller than what a Martin Luther King was and stuff like that, but they're there. So I don't want you to be discouraged and stuff like that. In fact, it was a unity of some form is needed at this time. It says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. I'm saying to my brothers and my sister, God knows our sorrow. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land into a good land, and a large, and into a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. So God knows our situation. He knows every storm, every battle we face. He knows our fears that every time we get stopped by a police officer. And the thing that we need to understand with all of that and stuff, there are police officers that are doing their job, love their job, that is shining among the community, and they are even to begin to speak out. They are even beginning to speak up at the atrocities that are taking place in this country. There are police officers that do the job every day. You know, do the job and never have a conflict. You know, never try to persecute or use their position of power over anyone. You know, but only there to serve. Because that's what they do. You know, this is a service position and everything, you know. And sometimes it's a thankful position, too. But, you know, so there are those that are, but it looks like that the far right has gotten to a point, man, that our lives don't matter. You know, and the thing about it, it's not that black lives matter only in everything, because it's not about all lives matter. But it seems like that as a black man, and looking at my brothers and sisters, our lives matter even less. You know, one of the things that I noticed, and this will probably be some controversy, that as soon as they found out there was more blacks dying of this virus, then all of a sudden everything wants to open up. I don't know whether it was there was something else, but I was like, wait a minute. Before you found out that there was more blacks dying of this thing, you want to prolong it and do the right thing. Now, all of a sudden, no, we got to open back up for the economy. This is more than just the economy and everything, man. But this is, to me, I feel sometimes that my country that I was born in is doing its best to take us out as a race of people. Also to a point, there'll be less and less of us. Okay? I'm not saying that we are perfect as a race. You know, God knows that like anybody else, we all have our troubles. We all have our issues. But I also believe that if we ever came together and become as one and be strong and everything, we can accomplish so much together. And I think that's a fear factor because of that and stuff. And I just want to say that, you know. So today I want to lift up my brothers and my sisters, and I want to lift up even those that are non-black, that I'm supporting. You know, I don't care what, you know, brown people, anybody, you know, anyone that's been oppressed, I want to lift you up today. Because I believe that God is about to deliver us. I believe that a deliverer is coming. I believe that deliverer of Jesus Christ, that when he died on the cross for our sins, he had us in mind for this such a time as this. He knew that hard times were coming. He knew that some of us get persecuted because of the color of our skin. He knew that we would get persecuted because of what we believed in. He knew that there would be a divide even in the midst of God's people. But we know he knew that one day he was coming back for us. So I believe that God is speaking even through the midst of this, that he's encouraging, even in the midst of this, that he allowing whites and blacks and people of different nationalities and people of different tongues to stand together against the of being oppressed, of being demonized, of being like to a point when we're feeling hopeless. I believe that. So that, y'all, I'm done. I don't really have anything much. I didn't, you know, but I just wanted to get this out there. Amen. Amen. God, Father God, we thank you for this broadcast. We pray that you will bless it. Continue to be, keep us in peace, God. Bring forth the love that is needed in this day and time and living. And God, help my brothers and my sisters, God, that don't feel, the young people that don't feel safe just walking down the street or getting into the car, God. Help us, God, to be diligent in the things of you, Lord Jesus. Help us to seek after you. Help us, God, to stand strong, God, and believe and trust in you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, God bless you, y'all. We'll see you next time. This is Reverend Ray on Friday Night Jim signing out.